Okay, take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. All right, and we're going to go to chapter 3. You know, if somebody asked you who you are, they said, who are you? What would you say? Would you say your name? Maybe. Your occupation? Where you live? Where you come from? Or any other number of things? Right? But in chapter 3 of 1 John, it tells us who we are. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It's an honor. It's how much love did God love us with that he decided to allow us to be his sons and daughters, to be his children. Pretty great. He hath bestowed it upon us. You know, what does bestowed mean? He gave it to us. He gave it to us. He didn't sell it to us. He didn't lease it to us. Imagine if it was a long-term lease. That'd be terrible. Or if he sold it to us, how much would it cost? That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. And people that are not believers in God, they don't really know us. They look at us in a totally and completely sense knowledge way. And that's it. So they don't really know us, do they? Beloved, now, not at the time of the return of Christ, not when we die and go to heaven or whatever else anybody believes, but right now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be in the future, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow, what a great thing to think about. Yeah. That when we see him, we shall be like him and we shall be as he is. We can go back and read in the Gospels and see what Jesus Christ was like. I mean, he was pretty awesome before he died and was resurrected. But now as he is in his resurrected form, is even better. We know he could cook. He cooked a meal for the apostles. He could eat. He drank wine with them. They could touch him and feel him, so he had a physical being. But then he could show up out of nowhere, just appear, and he could disappear. And apparently he could change his appearance, his visage. Because at first, the guys on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him. And then they did. So that's pretty cool. So it says that we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Wow. So when somebody says, you know, who are you? You could say, well, I'm a son of God. I will be just like Jesus Christ is. And I am absolutely pure. How pure is pure? Is that pure as the driven snow is the old phrase, right? But, you know, I don't know, if, you know, the allegories and the images In Revelation, it always talks about Jesus Christ in a pure white robe. You know, and I don't know exactly what that fully represents, but we know that white represents purity and clean and all that stuff and innocence. And he was pure, wasn't he? He was absolutely pure. He was without sin. He was tempted in all ways and without sin. And it says that we will be pure even as he is pure. Wow. What a great thing. When we put these realities in our minds and we think about it, we should think about ourselves in a different way. You know, sometimes we as human beings carry a lot of baggage that we don't really need to carry. You know, we weren't perfect maybe in our past. Some people think they were, but most of us weren't. And so, you know, you have to put that behind you and you have to think about the realities of what God says about you and put that into your mind and hold that. And when we do that, it's really pretty nice. It's really a nice thing to think about. In verse 7, it says, "Little children, let no man deceive you." And that's kind of an interesting thing because the world tells us all kinds of stuff. It seems to me that a lot of times the world is trying to make you feel guilty about something. We're going to destroy the world and we're polluting it and all the hate. And, you know, man does a lot of horrible things, right, throughout history. Then somebody else tries to atone for that evil, right? Occasionally, the person that does a bad thing will try to atone for it and make up for it in some way. You know, you talk about all the great, they're dubbed as robber barons, but all the great industrialists of the turn of the 19th, 20th century, most of them gave away a lot of their money. Or they set up foundations, or they set up hospitals, or they set up the endowed school. I mean, they did they feel guilty for what they did, or I don't know, but they did give a lot away. But you know, then at other times there are people and they'll say, "Well, your ancestors did something bad, so you have to pay for it." Well, why? I didn't do it. Why should I have to pay for it? And who are you to say? And of course, when they do that, they always go way beyond, right? And they just try to make you feel bad for all kinds of stuff. Or they'll try to convince you that you're a victim. I don't see anything here about being a victim in the Word of God. If you're born again, you have eternal life. You will be as he is. You're pure as he is. And it says in verse 7, "Little children, let no man deceive you." You know, the way we prevent being deceived is putting the word in our mind and then measuring everything that the world tells us against what God says. That's pretty much the simplest thing that we can do. We just measure it against what God says. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You know, we are righteous because the Word of God says we are righteous. And then we can do righteousness. You can't do righteousness if you're not righteous. Really. Can't give something you don't have. But God says that we were made righteous or just, you know, and what does that simply mean? It means that we are just or right according to God's standard. Well, what better standard is there than God's standard? You know, there's the government sets up standards for weights and measures, right? And that's the standard. And then everything is measured against that standard. So, you know, you go to the gas station and the pump, and there's usually a sticker that says that they have calibrated this pump so that it's giving you an honest reading of you're paying for a gallon of gas and you're getting a gallon of gas for whatever it says you're paying for. And if it doesn't, they'll shut it down. God's standard for righteousness is what he has given us. He has made us righteous. And he made us righteous because we believed in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ paid the whole price for everything. So we were born with a sin nature. We committed sins. We continue to do stupid things. And we may even commit some sins in the future. God forbid. But God has covered it all. And so we are righteous according to his standard. Chapter 4, verse 16, it says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Wow. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. If there's any love in this world, you know, it's us doing the loving, because only God's love is true love. True love is selfless, it's faithful, and it's committed. It's not what's portrayed in movies or talked about in philosophy or songs or any of that stuff. But God's word is perfect. It's selfless and it's committed. You know, and we as believers can walk in that love. We have that love in our hearts. It says that God shed his love abroad in our hearts. As he is, so are we in this world. Well, God is love, and so we can be love in this world. We can spread that love of God everywhere we go. You know, every so many years, I remember being just when I got out of college, I guess, and the world had an upheaval. You know, race riots, Martin Luther King was killed. This guy did this, Bobby Kennedy was shot, you know, and there were riots everywhere, and Vietnam was going on, and then it kind of quieted down for 40 years. Now we have the same thing over again. Did they achieve anything in all that time? There's still inequality, there's still hate, there's still evil in the world. The only difference is that people get born again and they have eternal life. We truly affect the world when we walk in God's love, when we live that love, because as he is, so are we in this world, and God is love. And we're the only one that truly, we're the only ones that truly love when we walk in that love. So somebody says, who are you? You say, I'm a lover. I'm pure love. I can love better than anybody. You know, in the world, there's a lot of ego, a lot of, what do they call it? False bravado, braggadocio. A couple of months ago, my wife and I watched a mini-series on Aretha Franklin. She was an incredible musical talent. But she was nuts and had a horrible life. You know, her father was evil. He was a preacher, a big-time preacher, and he was evil. He was a womanizer. And there's one scene where they're going somewhere down south. He would do these tours, and he took her with her. I think she was like 12 or 13, and he got stopped by these rednecks, and so he just gave them the keys to his car, and they were dumbfounded, and then he went and walked into the town, and he bought a car with cash, and the guy said, where do you get this cash? He said, well, I'm a black preacher. Like, and just, you know, take it for granted, you know, they have a lot of money. And then, of course, he didn't really pay attention to his daughter, and she got pregnant when she was 12 or 13. You know, what a life. but she was a great talent. And then at the end, you know, she was so impressed with herself. She said, I am the best that ever was, and there'll never, ever be anybody like me again. She didn't thank God for the talent he gave her. She didn't glorify God. She didn't do any of that. And she was a great talent, but, you know, it was all about her. That's not walking in love, is it? That's not glorifying God. That's not what we see in the Word of God. And that's, you know, pretty much the world, isn't it? That's the world. That's the way they live. It's ego and bravado and, you know, all that stuff. So when we say the truth according to God's word, when you say, I'm righteous, I'm pure, I'm love, that's not bravado. That's not ego. That's truth. Because God says so. There's a difference. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, if you say you can do something and you can't, that's bragging. But if you can do it, then that's just the truth, right? It's kind of interesting, you know, doctors. I've seen a lot of doctors. I saw more doctors this year than I have in my whole life. You know, doctors can be either honest or they can think that they're on a different level from the rest of us. And I like when they're honest and they'll say, well, I don't know everything, but this is what I know and this is what I see. Some guys act like they know everything, which is a lie, because they don't know everything. Doctors know about this much compared to what's available to know. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, but of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, of whom God is made unto us. He's made unto us in Christ Jesus wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God made this unto us. He made us wise. Well, the wisdom of God's word, right? We can receive word of wisdom and word of knowledge, and we have the wisdom of God's word. We can understand things according to what he says. We're righteous. We're justified. We're sanctified. That means that we're holy. You know, the word sanctification could be translated holiness. You ever see an old movie where they have a priest or a bishop or somebody go, Your Holiness? Yeah. Well, we could say that to each other, Your Holiness. Yeah. You ever think about that? Because you're holy. Your Holiness. It's kind of a fun thing to think about. So somebody says, Who are you? I'm Your Holiness. Huh? I think you're nuts. So what? I'm Your Holiness. And redemption. He's made unto us redemption, meaning that God has paid the whole price. He's bought us lock, stock, and barrel. He's freed us. He's bought us out of captivity. So when somebody says, Who are you? You say, Well, I'm righteous, I'm pure, I'm holy, I'm redeemed. It's not boasting, it's true. It's what God says about you. When you were born again, you were set apart, you were made holy, you were purified. God did it all for you in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I remember in church, then they do a thing where you go, holy, holy, holy. You know, you sing all these things and repeat all these things. And Most of the time, at least I didn't even know what it meant or what I was doing. I just did it. Because they said, well, you do this. And when the guy says this, you get up. And when he says this, you sit down. And then you kneel. And then you get up. And then he says something. And then you repeat it. And it's all in a book, so you read it. Really is mindless. You just, you go there because you're supposed to. And then you try to get through it. So you can't wait to get out and go to Sunday dinner or whatever. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, the holy ones at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That would include us. So we're holy ones. How cool is that? To the holy ones. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you, means us, and you that were sometime in the past, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. God has reconciled us through his Son, Jesus Christ, right? In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. So, because of Jesus Christ, in the body of his flesh through death, he is able to present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable, or unimpeachable. That's pretty much the opposite of religion. Because religion's always telling you how bad you are and what you have to do to get right. I think every religion in the world has some kind of system so that you atone for your sins. Even most Christian religions, they may talk about grace, but they also talk about sin. Some of them talk about backsliding. Well, once you're born again, you're born again. How can you backslide from being born again? How can you backslide from eternal life? You can't. How can you be condemned when you're no longer condemned? You've been absolved from everything. So it says here, we are unblameable, unreprovable, and holy in his sight. What a great thing. Just the opposite of religion. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. When we think about this way, when we think about ourselves this way, we should feel really good about ourselves. We should be blessed with ourselves. We should realize that God loves us and he wants to bless us in every way possible. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, which is wholeness, right? Salvation, when we are born again, we are made whole. He gives us Holy Spirit, which makes us a threefold being once again. So we're whole in that way. And he heals us, and our healing is totally available for everything that's wrong with us. From the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We believe the truth, and so we are saved and we are sanctified of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. God puts his Holy Spirit within us, the new birth Spirit. That's pretty great. Sanctified by the gift of Holy Spirit. were made whole. So we are the sons of God, redeemed, meaning we're bought and paid for, and we belong to God. We are righteous according to God's standard, and we are holy, and we are pure. So our challenge, and hopefully our desire, is to live that way, to live with that in our mind, to renew our minds to who we are and what we are in Christ Jesus. And sometimes that's easy and sometimes it's hard, because the world is doing what? Constantly bombarding us with things that contradict what God says. Let's go to 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 13, it says, wherefore, tells us a bunch of stuff before, and it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, means be in your right mind, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, you know, think about Christ coming back. As obedient children. That's kind of cool when you think about it, because how are obedient children? Well, they're sweet, right? They're a blessing. And when they're obedient children, they just obey. They don't question. They don't doubt. They just do it. So here it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You know, it was because of ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, meaning in all manner of life, the way you live, the way you conduct yourself. God's holy, and he's called us, and we are to live a holy life. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Wow, what a great thing. Let's go back to Ephesians. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, of course, is in light of chapters 1, 2, and 3. And it's the practical thing of what we're supposed to do with the knowledge that he gave us in the first three chapters. And he says in verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as, and the word other is really not in the text, so it reads, not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind, the futility of their minds. You know, natural man thinks he can figure out everything and save the world. You know, the world was cursed the moment that Adam and Eve sinned. Now, you know, it may ebb and flow. It may go faster. It may go slower. And that's the way it goes through the ages. You know, there are good times and bad times. There was the ancient times, there was the dark ages, there was the rebirth of learning, there was all that other stuff, you know. I don't know if the environment's any better off now than it was then, or maybe even worse off, who knows. But this is what I do know. The earth is cursed, and no matter what man does, he's not going to save it. He can try till the end of time, it's not going to get saved. So we may make it a little nicer, a little cleaner, and I'm all for that. I'm all for clean air and clean water and not having garbage dumps in my backyard. But still in all, man's not going to save the earth. So we're not to walk as Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Of course, if you don't want to learn and you don't want to know, you won't, right? You know, there's a lot of people that just have no, I mean, it's maybe crazy and foreign to us, but there's a lot of people that just have no interest in knowing God or understanding God, or they just don't. Even people that may confess at times that they believe in God, they don't really have an interest in knowing God. Maybe out of fear, or maybe they'll find out something they don't want to know. I don't know. But once you learn, then it's great. Having their understanding dark, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But in contrast, ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's us. Righteousness and true holiness. That's us. That's what we are to put on in our mind, that we are created God created us, you know, we were made, formed, and then when we received the Holy Spirit, he created that spirit within us, and he created righteousness and true holiness. And then it goes on and says things like, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. You know, well, why would we want to lie? You know, lying is just pretty accepted in the world, isn't it? And it just, people lie all over the place. They know they're lying, and they still lie. And it's just a normal thing. And, you know, we have a higher standard. So our standard for lying as opposed to theirs, you know, they have white lies and black lies, and a lie is a lie is a lie. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. We're just not supposed to give place to him. We're to live a holy life. Let him that stole, steal. No more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. And you know, God made us to work, and he says, let him labor with his hands so that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, and giving is such a wonderful and great thing. And when you have to give, it's just great. So that's what he says to do. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, as we talk to each other, especially, you know, who are you talking to? Well, if I'm talking to any one of you, you know, if I'm talking to Michelle, your holiness, or if I'm talking to Millie, your holiness, right? Whoever we're talking to who's a believer, you know, we're talking to a holy person, a righteous person, a person that is pure in the eyes of God. And that's the way we should think about it. But as we speak to everyone, we should not have any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And you know, it's easy to get into the habit of being critical, of being negative. And we just shouldn't allow it in our minds. you know, and as we speak to people, you know, it's really great to be around people that just, there's some people I know that have never said anything bad about anybody. And it's like, wow, I wish I could say that. Occasionally I slip. You know, somebody does something and I just react and I go, that stupid ass. Kids bring out the best in you. But we're not to have corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. But that which is the good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption, which means don't make God sad. Do your best. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't punish you. But when we don't do our best for him, it makes him sad. And says, but whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, regardless of what you do, you're sealed. You know, you're guaranteed. You're going to be there at the gathering. That's kind of a nice, comforting thought, isn't it? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And that's the way we're to live our lives. But as we see ourselves as holy and righteous and pure and loving, and then we put that out there towards each other, it's easy to be like that, isn't it? And the more we do it, the easier it gets. You know, and as we do it back to one another, we'll all get blessed. And as we do it to other people, it'll just knock them over. You know, it does. Many times people have said, you know, you guys are so positive. Why? Well, because we love God and we know the truth about God. It's easy to be positive when you know the truth, that God has made you righteous, that he's made you holy, that he's redeemed you, that you're sanctified, that you're pure, and that he has put his love within us, and that we can love like he loved, and we can be as he is in this world. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us, for loving us, for what a great and wonderful God you are. We thank you that you have given us so much that we can keep in our minds and in our hearts the greatness of our sonship, the greatness of being your children, and how you only see the best in us always, and that we can see the best in ourselves and the best of each other, that we can encourage one another and help one another to be our best for you. We just thank you for this in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.